time, Your Honor, but I'm not, I don't think, respectfully, I don't think I'm breaking new ground in doing so. I think looking at the language in Holland and Grantham and Pereira.
What about, I thought counsel made a very good point that those cases all predated the change in law that required an NOD to be a jurisdictional aspect or requirement for this court, and that the Federal Circuit in reviewing those was assessing whether or not an NOD had been filed, and yes, an NOD had been filed, and therefore we had jurisdiction.
That
no longer exists anymore.
That's true, Your Honor, and that was the genesis of how those cases got appealed to the Federal Circuit. But the Federal Circuit held, as we contend respectfully, Your Honor, that for each element of a claim, and they define the elements, and they segregated service connection from the level of disability sought and from the effective date and from the other so-called downstream elements. Further, Your Honor, this court in Holland has already interpreted Grantham and Barrera in a manner that goes well beyond whether or not the VBEA of 2001 would have had any impact on the context of the holdings of those cases. And Your Honor, I respectfully submit that even if the court were to consider distinguishing Grantham and Barrera, that Holland is still good law in that regard.
What does Holland say exactly?
Your Honor, again, in that situation where there was no NOD, or perhaps actually the court, in fact, did construe later something else as an NOD. They stated the law. The court now holds that the RO's April 1993 award of service connection consisted of a full award of benefits on the appeal initiated by the May 1991 NOD, and that that same RO decision as to the compensation level, and here they cite Grantham and Barrera, or rating and effective data elements or issues required a separate NOD in order for them to be placed in appellate status for the first time. And again, based on that language, Your Honors, the Secretary respectfully submits that appellate status was terminated upon the grant of service connection in the absence of a notice of disagreement as to those downstream elements that the court in Holland specifically enumerated.
Can you explain the actuality and the quality of notice that Mr. Sari received with regard to the regional office decision that granted service connection and granted a 30% disability rating?
I can, Your Honor. Again, as a preliminary matter, of course, the Secretary doesn't believe that the court should go there for lack of jurisdiction. That being said, in answer to your question, the notice in this case was sufficient because appellant received, pursuant to the presumption of regularity, not only the cover letter and the VA form 4107, but also the rating decision, which was specifically listed as an enclosure, to the same extent that appellant has conceded that the 4107 form may be presumed under the presumption of regularity to have been received. The rating decision was similarly listed. In fact, based on the order of the enclosures, to get to the form 4107, appellant would have first had to go through the rating decision. And Your Honors, as the Secretary respectfully asserted in the supplemental memo to this court, appellant essentially asks the court to read out the rating decision in determining whether or not there was sufficient notice as far as the court's, or rather the Secretary's regulation requiring what needs to be in the notice of rights when the Secretary's regional office issues a decision. I respectfully submit that the rating decision has to be read in addition to those documents because it wasn't included in part specifically for that purpose. This case, Your Honor, appellant counsel has correctly pointed that there is language at the end of that rating decision. And Your Honors, I refer you to the, I believe, the first supplemental record on appeal. withdrawn was perhaps inartful, because withdrawn may very well, in fact, implicate, in some instances, 38 CFR 20.204C, which did not come into play in this case. However, that being said, it clearly communicated to both a hypothetical reader and I respectfully submit to appellant that his appeal had been terminated, which was accurate, again, based on the requirement of a NOD for any of the downstream issues pursuant to Grantham and Barrera in Holland. And I submit, Your Honors, respectfully, that withdrawn could be interpreted no other way by a layperson than to say that it was terminated. For example, Your Honors, if we told appellant that all the money from his bank account had been withdrawn, he would not be writing a check on that bank account, because he would know clearly that bank account's funds had been terminated. That being the case, although perhaps inartful, Your Honors, the Secretary respectfully submits that in this case the notice was accurate and told appellant exactly what he needed to know, particularly because it was accompanied by appellate's rights notice, in addition to the rating decision and the cover letter.
Do you want to clarify, I'm trying to separate these two issues here. Is the Secretary's position that we should not involve ourselves with the rating of the psychiatric claim because there's no final board decision on that issue? In other words, the 2004 decision does not deal with that issue, and therefore there is no final board decision under which we have jurisdiction. Is that the Secretary's position?
That's certainly the position that the Secretary would ask the court to take.
As opposed to the board, in fact, properly deciding the fact that there was a final, that the rating decision, that the decision that occurred at the regional office was a final adjudication of that. I mean, do you understand the difference I'm trying to, I'm not being very clear, I think, in what I'm communicating. But
I believe I understand, Your Honor. I think the first premise, Your Honor, that you mentioned is certainly what the Secretary would ask the court to hold. If the court were not to hold that, in effect, the court would then be exercising jurisdiction, I suppose, which the Secretary respectfully submits that the court should not do. That being said, if the court were to exercise jurisdiction, the Secretary is not aware of any basis, except for perhaps for a the Secretary respectfully is not aware of any basis to find that there was a deficiency in the notice. Now, of course, based on the first premise you noted, Your Honor, that inquiry would not even be made, because the Secretary respectfully submits that in the absence of any order or finding or anything that would have preclusive effect as to the issue or to the claim took place. In fact, Your Honors, the board explained as much to appellant's representative at the October 2003 hearing. Page 135 of the record on appeal, the BBA member in the preliminary, again, not to get in trouble with preliminary comments, but in the preliminary section of the hearing, I think it couldn't be clearer that neither entity, neither the veteran, his representative, nor the Board of Veterans' Appeals believed or intended that they had any ability to have any preclusive effect as to this particular item. Your Honors,
of course, that would just be a fair or due process violation if the board then went ahead and decided the issue.
It would be an egregious due process violation, Your Honor, no question. But
so it really comes down to what is this a finding of the board or not?
And Your Honor, I respectfully submit again that it's not. And again, depending on if the court were to adopt Kirkpatrick, I think Section 7266 for the proposition that he was adversely affected by the BPA decision. Again, Your Honor, the board did not confirm anything or make any findings. So pursuant to 38 U.S.C. 7266, the Secretary respectfully submits that the court further would lack jurisdiction, in addition to the Kirkpatrick analysis, which relied on 7252 and 7104.
So your position is that the matter on appeal was service connection, that when that was remanded to the RO, he was awarded service connection. That ended the matter on appeal. He was also awarded 30% disability and an effective date. In the rating decision, it stated that his appeal was withdrawn and that the appellant, the veteran, was given notice of appellate rights and he did not exercise them, and then therefore the decision is final.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
And the fact that the RO said it was withdrawn, and your position is that the veteran got that, he couldn't be misled by that because he would have known it really meant something else.
Yes, Your Honor. Even if he thought it meant withdrawn in the regulatory sense, he still would have known that he had no appeal. In either event, whether it's withdrawn as a layman's term or withdrawn.
And that wouldn't confuse a veteran to say, I have no appeal, but what are these appellate rights?
No, Your Honor. I don't. Reading the notice of appellate rights, it makes it clear that if he disagrees with any aspect of the decision,
including the withdrawal.
Your Honor, I would submit that yes, that would include the withdrawal. In fact, under the Secretary's regulatory scheme, there are opportunities specifically enumerated for a veteran to file an NOD. The court has noted some of these instances, I believe in Rudd, Your Honor. The two that I'm readily aware of is under 3.109B, the veteran could file an NOD, and also under 38 CFR 19.28, the veteran could disagree with these decisions. So it certainly isn't ripe for review. On the topic of Rudd, Your Honors, if the court were to determine that this had some potential preclusive effect, and the Secretary certainly disagrees with that proposition, the court could, I suppose, certainly look to Rudd and DiCarlo, and you could, I suppose, Your Honors, the court could always, I suppose, vacate those three sentences from the BBA decision. That being said, Your Honors, this case is distinguishable from Rudd and DiCarlo, because in those cases, the board did make findings that could be read much more clearly as having a preclusive effect. In this instance, Your Honors, there is no preclusive effect. Therefore, there's no res judicata or collateral estoppel barrier for the appellant if he were to proceed. Further, Your Honors, in issuing a decision on this case, the decision could certainly include, even though the court would decline to exercise jurisdiction over the case, I suppose it could be possible for the court to also indicate that how that language, those three sentences, were read, and that would, I would imagine, would have some of binding effect on the Secretary, and even if it didn't, I'm sure based on our representations, the Secretary would certainly follow that lead in this instance.
We're only smiling at each other because of a recent decision in Padgett, that's all. Go ahead.
Yes, Your Honor.
If you're done, you're done.
Yes, Your Honor. If there are no further questions, the Secretary respectfully submits that the court should affirm the BVA decision dated April 29, 2004, which denied appellant's request for an extension of the eliminating date for educational benefits under Chapters 34 and 30 because appellant has made no argument or disagreement as to those issues, and should dismiss any appeal as to entitlement to a higher rating for a psychiatric disability for lack of jurisdiction. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
not. If it is, then Kirkpatrick controls and this court has jurisdiction. To deal with the question of Holland, Holland again predates the amendment, and the critical language in the regulation that I do not believe has been changed of the 19.3A prior to 2001 or post-2001 is dealt with differently depending upon how this court's jurisdiction is implicated. This court's jurisdiction is no longer implicated by the necessity for a jurisdictionally conferring NOD. The analysis in
That's correct, but what about the board? I mean, Holland, the quote I have is, the court now holds that the RO's April 1993 award of service connection consisted of a full award of benefits on the appeal initiated by the May 1991 NOD. I mean, that isn't talking about our jurisdiction. It's talking about the jurisdiction down below, isn't it? Or was that tied into, therefore, the court had jurisdiction? I don't have the full...
I believe it's tied into the court's jurisdiction, Your Honor, because the court's jurisdiction prior to 2001 was entirely premised upon whether there was or wasn't a jurisdictionally conferring NOD. And if you will, the hoops that we had to jump through prior to Barrera and Grantham were to differentiate between the different elements or the different portions of the benefit sought in order to establish the right to implicate this court's jurisdiction when there had been a decision that didn't have a jurisdictionally conferring NOD, and then there was a jurisdictionally conferring NOD. All of that is taken out of play as of 2001.
Why does the removal of the jurisdictional requirement for the NOD implicate the reason in Barrera and Grantham with regard to the requirement for a disagreement when a final, when the VA claims that a final decision has been made on these elements?
Well, Your Honor, I do not, I believe that that is in excess of the VA's authority to make that decision once an appeal is initiated under 7105 and completed under 7105, which are the facts of this case. And therefore, any action taken by the VA that attempts to dispose of the appeal other than by administrative appellate review by the board is ultra vires. They simply have no authority to dispose of, to terminate the appeal. They simply lack the authority to do that. Once the veteran has initiated...
Well, even if they lacked authority to do that, accept that for a second. You're given appellate notice rights. Why can't you appeal that? It's a wrong decision by the RO.
Well, that goes back to whether or not the notice that was provided, and it's at pages 1 and 2 of the first supplement record, simply do not comply with the requirements of 103.
Well, let's assume for a second they do.
Well, if they did, then that is potentially a conflict or a tension between whether you have to go back and reappeal a adverse decision. But what happened here is that the board resurrected this. The board, sua sponte, put this...
Right, but you're back into whether or not we were to find the board rendered a decision on the matter. Let's assume for a second that the determination is the board did not render that decision. Let's assume for a second that the notice rights were good. Let's assume for a second that the RO was wrong when he said it was withdrawn, but let's assume for a second the veteran received the decision and the appellate rights. Everything went fine as far as that. Now the question becomes, is the matter still in appeal in any event? And another NOD has to be filed, as might be suggested by Holland and so forth, or is it in appeal automatically?
It depends on how this court defines the benefits sought on appeal. And I know of no case thus far that has defined that. And I believe that this is the appropriate case in which to...
Well, doesn't Holland do it?
No, I do not believe it does, because Holland deals with it in a pre-2001 amendment context in which the determination was different because this court couldn't conduct judicial review without a jurisdictionally conferring NOD. This court can now conduct review without a jurisdictionally conferring NOD based solely upon a board decision. So although I have to accept all of your hypothetical, ultimately it comes down to whether or not there was or wasn't a board decision. was a board decision that sua sponte raised this issue and decided that issue incorrectly as a matter of law.
Well, even if there wasn't a board decision, you could make an argument that there was an NOD and therefore the board still had it and that this is the only decision that was out there and they missed it. You could still make that argument.
Well, I could make the argument. The problem, however, is that the VA adjudication process doesn't provide a mechanism to do that. What I would do would be to make a demand on the board to adjudicate it. The board would then ignore that, saying, no, this has already been disposed of. Then I would have to file a writ of mandamus to this court in order to compel the board to do that. Now, that seems to me to be an awful lot of hoops to have to jump through in order to get what was contemplated by 7105, which is an administrative appellate decision by the board once you file your notice of disagreement and your substantive appeal. It then turns on the definition of the benefits sought on appeal. If we narrow that to just being service connection, then clearly there is a problem for Mr. Siri. If, on the other hand, broaden it to be consistent with the court's decision in AB, then the benefit sought is for compensation, and the VA was required to presume that the maximum benefit would have been 100%, and the board didn't do that, nor did the VA. And Mr. Siri was entitled to review, administrative appellate review by the board. Unless there's any further questions from the panel, I believe that covers everything that I have.
All right. Thank you. The case will be submitted. We will come down and greet counsel.